Welcome back. It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr, North Dakota Corn Council Studio. Well, everybody's home, cloistered, and quarantined, and online, doing Zoom, but some of us are reading more, actually spending more time with our nose in a book. And hey, I've got a good one for you. From Gray Wolf Press, American Harvest, God, Country, and Farming in the Heartland. Hot off the press about a week ago, and the author, Marie Mutsky-Mockett, joins us. Hello, Marie.
Hello, Mick. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
You are very welcome. It is a very different times we live in right now. As you undertook writing this book, could you even have imagined what we're going through right now as a country, as a world?
You know, it's so funny. I don't think I could have imagined the speed or the degree to which this has impacted absolutely everybody. You know, everybody's experiencing the same thing. It's funny when I think back, though, when I was on the road with the harvesters who are featured in the book, they would periodically say, what if there is some sort of global disaster? People are still going to need food. They're still going to need our skills. So I think there are always people out there who could envision the importance of certain jobs, you know, and things like the food supply. But I, even though I heard them, I could not have imagined something like this happening.
This is the title of your book, American Harvest, God, Country, and Farming in the Heartland. Well, we consider ourselves in the Heartland. Maybe we're not in the Bible Belt, but tell us a little bit about why the title.
Well, you know, American Harvest, I wanted to make it clear that it was a book about the United States, but it's a book about America. I've written two other books, and they had slightly more poetic titles, and I needed to repeat them several times. So I wanted to have a title that was easy for people to remember, but that also summed up what the book was about. And it is about a harvest. It's about me on the road with a group of harvesters during the American wheat harvest from May to September, going through the center of the country. I wanted something that made it clear to, you know, people in New York City and San Francisco, where the book was going to take place, and that I felt that it was important that that they understood the location. And I kind of wanted to come up with a subheading with some of the major themes that directly stated what those themes were. And the book does go quite a great deal into God. The people I traveled with go to church every Sunday, and I went to church with them. So I didn't want to pretend like that wasn't part of the book. We do talk a lot about the urban and rural differences, and then there's a lot of talk about farming. So I just wanted to come up with something that clearly, directly stated some of the themes of the book without trying to hide behind any title that was kind of cute or poetic or seemed to evade the subjects.
Well, I kind of did the same thing, except over the phone. This is a number of years ago, when once a week I would visit with the people who are on a combining crew, actually about three or four of them. We rotated from week to week, and we started in around Mother's Day in Texas, around Wichita Falls, and eventually worked their way all the way up to the Canadian border by October, or at least late August into September. So did you do the same?
That's exactly what I did. We started in Crowell, Texas, which I think is a little bit to the west of Wichita Falls, but it's still in that wheat belt. The big difference with the crew that I was with, and I was with just this one crew, we turned west out of Nebraska, crossing through Wyoming into Idaho. I know some people do go north, but there's so much wheat in Idaho, and that took a number of weeks to get all of that wheat cut. So that's what I did instead of going up north. But my family owns a farm in Nebraska, and as a child, I would spend my summers going to Japan with my mother, and then we would come back usually in time for wheat harvest. And when I was a kid, it was a different harvesting crew that came through and cut our wheat. They were based in Texas, and they would go up to the Canadian border. But I think that's gotten a bit more difficult now, and probably this year even more difficult with border crossings and you know, the difficulty we have going in and out of our own country.
Yeah. How did the invitation to travel with this crew and write this book, how did that all come about?
Isn't that amazing? You know, my whole life, I remember all the adults around me saying, wow, one day I would really like to go on a harvest crew. And it was always that feeling of incredible sadness when harvest ended and the harvesters left town and moved on to the next location. And conversely, there was an incredible feeling of excitement when the wheat was ripe and when the harvester, his name was Harvey, would show up on our doorstep and, you know, he was ready to cut wheat. So I think I always had this very romantic idea in my head. And all of the young people around me, all of us grew up really in cities and in towns. We also saw this as an incredibly romantic thing, but something that we might not ever get to do. Although I think one of my cousins went partway with one of our harvest crews. But Eric, the man who's featured in the book, has been cutting our ground for 30 years, and he knows it significantly better than I do. And my father passed away maybe 10 years ago, and Eric really took a lot of time to explain farm and farming and machinery and to try to, you know, show me how he saw the land, how he thought of things. And he would periodically say, I'd really like you to see the rest of the country because then you would understand farming so much better. And then in 2016, the election happened. He had been very concerned about the election. He had always voted Republican. He'd had a lot of concerns about Donald Trump going into the election. He was not happy about those results. And he said, well, why don't you come on the road and I'll show you the country and then you will understand it better and understand these people better. So out of a lot of that kind of idealism and goodwill, the idea for the road trip was born.
But wait, Marie, isn't the stereotype that farming country elected Trump and they're still real happy with him? What kind of epiphanies did you have out there?
You know, I probably, there's a degree to which I always question that kind of simple narrative. And I ran into so many people and they're in the book and they say, they just think we're hicks, don't they? You know, and I would say, well, yes, that is what they think, because at that point I had been living in New York for quite some time, and then in San Francisco, and of course that is sort of the narrative. And anything that deviates from that, it can be very difficult to get that message and that story out. And I tried I didn't write this book with an agenda, but I did. As I wrote the book, I just tried to present people who were really interesting, complex characters and have them on the page so that people who don't have the chance to go, with a harvest crew or to learn something about farming might understand the many complexities that shape the world of wheat farming and corn farming and, you know, the way of life, really, that people on the Great Plains have. I mean, it's only one book, and there's just one road trip that I take, so I can't obviously present everything. But I tried very hard to show how hard men and women work to put food on the table.
But it also shines a light on the diversity of America, even within agriculture, and how through a stereotype you lump an entire region or demographic into one political basket that just ain't right.
Oh my gosh, it's so true. A lot of times people want to talk to me about farming in California, and farming in California is completely different. It has a very different growing season, and California also has a lot of water because the water's been diverted into that Central Valley in order to irrigate all of those crops. So we've really created these incredible ideal growing conditions for so many different crops. Many of which can be grown organically. It becomes a lot more difficult if you're growing wheat kind of in the wheat belt and you're dependent only upon rainfall and you're drying, you know, you're farming dryland wheat, or if you go further east, dryland corn. Conditions change and you can't necessarily grow quite the same variety or quite the same crops. There's a reason why people grow wheat where they grow wheat and grow, you know, arugula where they grow arugula.
So let's leap from the diversity of the regions and the diversity of political differences and the many different ways there are within Christianity and the roots of farming and the roots to religion. What did you discover there?
Oh my gosh, that's such a wonderful question, and there's just so much to say. The harvesters I traveled with are by and large Anabaptist. Many of them are Mennonite, and they live in Pennsylvania, mostly in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, which is famous to Americans because, you know, that's where the Amish live with their horse and buggies. But Eric and his crew do not live with horse and buggies. They, you know, drive machinery, are very, very capable of dealing with electronics and complicated machinery. And Eric and his son Justin, who's featured prominently in the book, talked to me a lot about what their Christianity is. And I really got such an education, as you say, in the diversity of Christian faiths and denominations in this country. It was not something that I really knew all that much about. I did not grow up going to church regularly. I didn't even really necessarily know the difference between the Catholic Church and the Protestant faith. And then within the Protestant faiths, what were the disagreements that people had? I think there are probably a lot of Americans who don't necessarily know the difference. It's all just sort of this blur. And so every Sunday, we would go to church when I was on the road, and the churches changed as we moved from town to town. And they were aware that they were also sort of educating me into the diversity of faith that exist, or denominations, I should say, that exist in America. And so they were very careful about showing me different churches, talking to me afterwards about what the pastors had said. And so I went to a mega church in Oklahoma City, and that's in the book. One of my favorite churches is a house church, which is held in a home where there isn't a pastor or a priest present. It's just people with the Bible, which was a very moving and very beautiful experience, one that I really love. And then I find out has its historical roots, because that is probably the way that Christians first gathered.
We have to take a break, but we'll be back more with Marie after this on Farm Talk.